Cool. You starting the intro?
Yep.
Cool.
Hey, adventurers. Welcome to the Let's Just Go Pod. Nope, that's not even the name
That's not even the name of our podcast. How embarrassing.
Hey, adventurers. Welcome to Let's Just Go Podcast. I'm Chris.
And I'm Kayla. And this week, we are just going to go to Vegas.
We're going to Vegas. But before we do, I feel like I have to address the elephant in the room, which is my above my left eye, some marker and a little biopsy. And I had multiple things removed today from my scalp and my face from the dermatologist with, you know, obviously sent them away concerned that they might be basal cell carcinoma. So we'll hope for the best, but we'll prepare for the worst. But anyway, just really using this as a PSA. Friends, I'm not even 40 yet, and please, please, please get your body scans. Obviously, my skin is going to get these things, but even if you're black or brown or white but tan a lot, like you can still get all of these things. So please, please, please get it checked.
You mean if you're not this like pale,
yes,
kind of red complexion that you and I are?
Pale ass bitches, yes. Yeah. I've had some pretty bad sunburns.
Yeah. Right? Oh, I've had a few in my... I have lived in Vegas multiple times. Well, as an adult, I lived in Vegas for about 2 years. And as a child, I actually grew up outside of Vegas for first through third grade. So like, we're talking about Vegas. I have a very interesting perspective. Chris, did you know that about me, that I had lived outside of Vegas as a kid?
I didn't know that. I knew the part, the dark part of your life when you were a stripper there.
Right.
But I didn't... Right. Yeah. I didn't know that you, your youth was molded by the outskirts of Vegas.
Yeah, my mom actually, shout out to my mom. She loves it when we shout her out. Shout out to my mom.
She was a stripper? She was a stripper before she was an educator.
She was a teacher, but she did, she had parent-teacher conferences with women that worked at the brothel in the town that we lived in, because hey, they got to make the money. And you know what, sex work is valid work, first and foremost. I respect it. I could not personally do it, but make that fucking money anyways. My mom said that the reason that we moved home back to Washington was because when I was in, I think, like second or third grade, I said that when I grew up, I wanted to be a cocktail waitress at the Rio. And at that time, the Rio, they were very, very scantily clad women. And so my mom was like, okay, she needs to have different aspirations than that. We're going to go back to Washington. Yeah. So that's my history. So like, my mom and I would go probably once a month to Vegas when I was a kid. So like, I remember Vegas, like when MGM still had a theme park and the Adventure Dome at Circus wasn't gross and disgusting like it is now. Like, it's a very different world back then that actually catered to kids a lot more, I think.
Yeah, yeah. We should jump in with that. I was just there last week for a conference and was surprised. There weren't a ton of kids, but I kept asking myself, like, why, what are kids doing here? Mm-hmm. And we did talk with a few, you know, adults who were like, oh, our kids are back in the room now. They were like, you know, 12, 14 and 16 or whatever, right? They're back in the room. We've gone to shows, but other people were saying that they were having trouble because some of the shows, you do have to be 16 or 18 and older to get into some of the shows, right? And so there's a little bit more adult content of sorts. So, you know, it's a unique place. And I don't know if I would be bringing my kids there. I gotta be honest with you.
Yeah, that's fair. But it depends on the kid too, I think. Like, there are things to cater to children. So, well, and I say children, I really mean teenagers more than like little kids, which is why I'm specifically thinking like your kids are of the age where I think.
Yeah.
They are old enough that they could have a good time. Like, there's, the Adventure Dome at Circus, which like to an adult you sort of roll your eyes at it, but like as a kid, it's really cool. And like, it's literally a whole like dome full of roller coasters and like a log ride. And are they any good? No, but it's a fun thing. There's two water parks in Vegas, both of which are great. One actually does, or before the pandemic, had done adults only nights, which was really fun. And they like had DJs and like little carts everywhere selling alcohol. And that we went to one and it was a good time. But there used to be a Marvel exhibit at Treasure Island. I don't know if that's still there. So there's like things.
There's things, but it's, I think for one, if you're staying on the strip, right, let's just talk about the fact that you can still smoke there. Mm-hmm. And let's just talk about the fact that people still smoke, right? No shame to an addiction. I'm not shaming, but I'm just shocked that there's, and it was just enough, not enough to be like, I'm never coming back here, but just mm-hmm. enough to be like, I can't be here long. Right. Yeah. I mean, that your nose is all dry. Everything is dry. That part I could.
I'm asthmatic. So like, it's rough for me.
Yeah, I would imagine it was. I was like, well, I could do without this, right? So, but talking about the strip, I mean, do people stay off the strip?
I mean, I personally, so my last trip to Vegas was September 2023 for Life is Beautiful, which is a music festival. And I stayed on Fremont Street because the festival takes place in downtown Vegas. But the other half of my trip, I stayed in Henderson because I wanted to be near where I used to live, which is obviously a very like specific to me niche thing. But it really depends on the vibe you're going for. Like if you're going to gamble, I personally think that Fremont Street is the better place to be because you've got the hotels or like the casinos in much closer proximity to one another. So Chris, have you ever been to Fremont Street? Okay. No. So Fremont Street is, this is going to be a silly comparison to make, but in terms of proximity, it's kind of like downtown Disney at Disneyland. Like you're walking down one strip of road. There are things on either side. You're walking out of one casino. You literally walk 100 feet and you're at the next casino. And you're not having to, like when you're staying on the strip, it is a trek to get from one casino to the next. And you either have to go outside, you have to get on a tram, you have to walk through a tunnel. Like it depends on where you're trying to get to and from. But that's why a lot of these casinos have like their gardens and, you know, like the Bellagio Gardens are a thing that I think a lot of people go to see. Or like Aria will do a big display around their lobby during different holidays. Or you're literally walking through a mall, like Aria is an example. You have to walk through an actual mall to get anywhere from Aria, where you don't have that in Fremont Street. And also the bets are typically lower on Fremont Street. So if you're wanting to play table games, your odds are also better. The machines, if you're a machine sort of gal like I am, they are what the term is, I believe, looser.
Similar to you in college.
Exactly. Yes. Your odds of winning are just higher than they are on the strip. So Fremont Street, in my opinion, again, as someone who like used to live there, I avoided the strip. I can tell you, I can count on like one hand how many times I've been on the strip in the last 5 years. But Fremont Street, I feel like there's just like a lot more to do. It's not also like as casino heavy. There's also the only adults only hotel is located in Fremont Street. That's Circa. It opened in, I believe, 2020, maybe 2021. So I'm team Fremont Street, personally.
Right. So I would agree. I mean, it was when I was just there, I stayed in Paris, right? And which is great, centrally located across from the Bellagio, but you're next to Planet Hollywood, and Caesars owns all of that, not the Bellagio, but the others.
Yeah.
You know, great, but like just to get from your hotel room to the casino floor at the Planet Hollywood, which honestly, you could probably throw like a tennis ball and hit from my yeah. hotel room, but it would take 20 minutes just to walk down through the casino mm-hmm. outside. You're going up, down, right? Because you go, you know, they, the one thing they do well there is obviously over, they don't want people really walking on Las Vegas Boulevard, right? So you yeah. have people going over. But I was like, what the hell? You know, so there, it, that part is a little rough. And I'm like, oh, I have a $25 chip for the Bellagio. I'm like, it's going to take 30 minutes to get back over there, even though it's across the street. Like, do I yeah. just cut my losses that I forgot to cash, you know, cash this in before I left? Or
yeah,
do I go back? But, you know, and then one day we did brunch down at Mandalay Bay, right? Which obviously mm-hmm. you'd have to take. We
took a car, that's a trek. You know, yeah,
it's a huge trick. So that's the part where I'm like, yeah, you know, I wish there was better ways to move. Like, I wish they had that monorail better situated with better stops on like the back end of each casino. Yeah. So, all right. So you stay there. I mean, the Paris rooms were not updated. I think they're in the mm-hmm. process of being renovated. They weren't bad, but the fact that there is carpet in Vegas is fucking disgusting. I'm not a huge I'm not the person who's like, I can't stay in a carpeted room. It doesn't completely skeeve me out, but in a place like Vegas,
yes. I need shoes. I can't be barefoot. Yeah.
I didn't.
Did you? Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but did you go to Park MGM at all while you were there?
I didn't. We drove by it, but I didn't.
Okay. Yeah. So, without a doubt, hands down, if I'm going to be on the strip, that's where I'm staying and that's where I'm spending all of my time. So Park MGM is the only non-smoking casino hotel in Vegas. Well, at least on the strip. I think in Vegas, though. And they've got Eataly. They've got the restaurant Best Friend. They've got like just so many. They've got a theater that has had a lot of different residencies in it. So Lady Gaga had a residency there. Aerosmith had a residency. I've been there because Backstreet Boys and Jonas Brothers have both had a residency there. So it's really like, it's a hip place to be. And I think that that's great.
Yeah. No, I wish I would have known that. I was in Paris, Planet Hollywood, Caesars, Bellagio, the Cosmopolitan, Mandalay Bay, and MGM, the regular MGM Grand. While I was there on this last trip.
Yeah.
I did love the Cosmopolitan though, too. I thought that was a cool place. They have very cool eatery. Like,
it's a vibe.
It is a vibe. I went to the barbershop place, which is very cool. It's like a little speakeasy behind the barbershop. That was very cool. Went to the little ski lodge, which you would miss because it's just a door. If you weren't really paying attention.
Did you get pizza?
From the ski lodge?
No, from the pizza place that's also very hidden at Cosmopolitan. It's like down a little hallway.
No. I saw people walking with pizza and I did not know where it was coming from. I got chicken from whatever the chicken place is there.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, I think, you know, I was there for a conference, but I added a night on because I did the red eye home. So I just paid for a hotel room that last night. So I had access to my room all the way up until 9 PM. And advantage. One thing we didn't talk about is the airport is 2 seconds from the strip, right? That's a convenience. That's definitely, you know, can't go unmentioned because if you're going, I mean, it just takes that whole day of travel, you know, makes it that much easier.
Yeah.
And it's not a crazy airport, right? So, no. You know, I think I had an 11:40 flight and I left my hotel at 10:15 PM.
Yeah.
Right. So, and was easily there with 50 minutes to spare, more than even before boarding. So you get there and that part's easy, but so anyway, I added a night. That's what I was saying. Yeah. I added a night and, you know, resort fees were like $50, mm-hmm. right? It was $350 to add a night. And I feel like one thing that people would be like, let me go to Vegas. It's so cheap. It's not.
It's not
cheap, friends.
It is if you stay off the strip. But if you're strictly going to the Strip. Like, you're staying at one of the big hotels. You got a taxi to and from the airport, and you're just strictly walking to get anywhere else, then yeah, it's expensive.
Yeah, very. Yeah. I mean, the hotel, like, I felt like it was like flights were cheap, hotel room cheap, and of course, like the things like the shows and all not, but that's sort of, you know, they try to entice people to get there, and then you spend the money while you're there rather than spending the money on getting there and being there, you know, and staying there. But that was not the case. I was like, huh. And I went to order a cinnamon roll, and the woman's like, babe, you sure you want this? It's $16. I'm like, no, I don't actually. Oh, you know, and God. It was not.
Where
was
were like, you getting a cinnamon roll at?
In Paris.
Wow.
Jeez. Yeah. Even the Starbucks is jacked up, right? Like a grande latte was like $9 versus the normal $6. And, you know, so, but tons of amazing eateries, right? I mean, every known chef, baker all has a place there, right? I mean,
that's why I love Vegas.
It was good. I ate at Giada's. That was delicious. I did go to nothing fancy and food wise, but I went to Blake Shelton's Old Red. It's like the four. It's new in Vegas. I think there's a few others across the country, but it's like a 4-story country bar. They always have live music, and they have outdoor rooftop seating, and it's right kind of in front of the Horseshoe.
Oh, okay.
Which hopefully the Horseshoe is knocked down soon. That was deplorable.
Did Paris still have Beer Park right outside?
Yep. Went there too. That was a great location, especially with the NCAA, you know, the basketball games and stuff.
Great location.
And actually the woman said, when we were there, there was no games going on, but she said, oh, yesterday was the games, and people pay $250 and they reserve their seat and they can stay all day. Yeah. So, and it included some drinks and some food, I think, but,
that's the other part of Vegas, is that, like, if you're wanting to do stuff in Vegas that you see and hear about on the internet, which is usually the case, right? If you've never been to Vegas, you're doing your research, you're hearing that there are things that you can do and they sound really fun. Like you're saying, $250, but you get to be there all day and you've got some stuff included. If you want to have a cabana at a pool, you are paying an exorbitant amount of money, especially in the summertime when it's 120 degrees outside and all you want to do is be in the pool. You're going to pay $1,000 for a cabana. That cabana is going to have a food and beverage credit included in it. And I think that that's something that people don't factor in, is that also a cabana can usually hold between like 6 and 8 people. So $1,000 is a lot of money. But if you've got, let's say, a bachelorette party and there's 8 of you going, and you're dividing that cost and you're getting a food and drink credit, it really is easier to
digest,
afford
that.
Yeah. And you can get a cabana at a hotel that you're not staying at. So that's another thing. Like if you're staying at a hotel and it doesn't have a great pool and you want to go to one of the really cool pools, like MGM Grand has a pool with like a sand bottom and a lazy river, and like it's a good time. Their cabanas are expensive, but you don't have to be staying at MGM Grand in order to get a cabana or a day bed or anything else at their pool and go to their pool for the day, which is great.
Nice. So that's good to know. And, but good. So you can order food and I don't know where the food was coming from though at the pool. I did sit by the pool for a little bit and people were ordering food. I just don't know where it comes from.
It's usually like a generic menu for the pool that like I'm assuming comes from like where room service comes from.
Right.
Typically it's also usually not like the greatest food, you know, but if you're hanging out at the pool all day, your priority is not eating good food.
Right. Right. No. But if you want amazing food, easily accessible, right?
So anywhere accessible.
Anywhere you want to go. I mean, again, things are a little bit more expensive, but I don't mind paying for good food or good experience with, like, in terms of when it comes to food. what's something else that attracts people? Probably the shows, right? You mentioned them, some of them already.
Yeah.
You've been to a few yourself in terms of concerts. No big concerts when I was just there. Miranda Lambert was finishing out her little residency. It's not really my style, but...
But you went to the Blake Shelton bar restaurant.
Went to the Blake Shelton
bar. And then you're talking
bar.
About Miranda Lambert. And then you're saying that's not your style?
Weren't they married to each other?
That's what I was... Yeah. Like, and you knew that, so clearly...
I did. I do. I don't hate country. I just don't love Miranda Lambert.
I got you. You went to the Sphere, right?
I did go to the Sphere. So this last trip... I think I've seen, I was shocked, right? So I was just there, but I hadn't really been there for over maybe a decade ago. Mm-hmm. Was shocked to see that Absinthe was still there out front of Caesars. Yeah. Great show when I saw it over a decade ago. I did just see David Copperfield again because I saw him the last time. Mm-hmm. Very disappointed because I'm 98% sure it was the exact same show as 10 years ago.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, the car. Yeah, there was just, I'm like, dude, come on. And it probably didn't help that the night or two before that, I went to see Chris Angel.
Oh.
Holy shit. Go see Chris Angel. Go see Chris Angel. It was the coolest hour and a half of my life in a very long time. It was really cool. It was so well done. And he tells the story. And then he gets into towards the end, he gets into his son had an illness and he started a whole foundation around that.
Yeah.
And they tell this whole story, but he brings in magic. So you're like being, you know, your heartstrings are being pulled about the story, but then he's doing magic and it's such a cool, thing. And you know, yeah, lots of audience participation, very engaging, hands down, go see Chris Angel. It was so cool. But the one thing drawing people to Vegas right now is the Sphere. And you mentioned that. Yeah. So I think the next residency there is going to be Phish.
That seems like a thing they would do for sure.
But as many people, if you don't know, it's a huge dome, you know, sphere.
It's sphere.
It's not really, look, I was in mathematics education. It's not technically a sphere. It's not a full sphere. Say it's more of like a dome, but it's very cool on the outside, right? Because it has all the, you know, computer screen across the entire outside. But then on the inside as well, all day long, maybe like three or four times throughout the day, I think even when there are things at night, they have shows that you can just buy. I forget, on Postcards from Earth, it's called right now. A weird sci-fi type story, but actually also really cool because they tell the story of like these two people who were cryogenically frozen. Okay. And they because the Earth couldn't support them anymore, right? Because it had been destructed by humans. And so then it comes back and it shows all these things that the Earth kind of reset. And it goes through showing all the amazing things that is Earth, right? From animals to things people built, but ways people have destroyed it as well. Very cool story. But bought the cheapest seats. I think they were like $140, right? So we were all the way up top, spending $140. What they don't tell you, we went to the 2 o'clock show, but really the show starts at 3. So they let you in at 2. And that's another one where you're like, if you get dropped off, what's the casino that has it?
Oh, I don't know. Cause it's not on the strip. It's off the strip.
Yeah. If you name it.
I drove by it when I was there last. I'm not sure.
I think the casino itself is on the strip, but the Sphere is not on the strip.
Yeah.
So we walked, I felt like at least a mile. But through like the conference center of the casino, it was kind of crazy. And they had people like they have in Disney with like the signs. It's like Sphere this way, trying to like direct traffic. I'm like, this is bizarre.
Oh, but really?
And your taxi doesn't like you only get dropped off so close to it. It was a strange setup. But from 2 to like 2:40. So the first 40 minutes is they have all this AI type, really cool stuff, but it's not organized in the lobby area. So they let you in to the 2 p.m. show, but the show's not really at 2 p.m. They want you meandering, very cool bar scenes in there, like lounge areas. The food was really good, that, you know, above, I'd say above the normal arena type food. But it was just strange and then not organized. So it was like, I'm not going to stand in a crowd around a robot talking to me. You know, I wish I would have known and then I would have shown up later. You know, that's kind of, I don't think they did a great job of communicating that. So we end up in the Sphere. It is not at all for somebody who is afraid of heights or has motion sickness. Was rough. The seats are very steep, very steep. I can't believe they sell alcohol in there. I'm dead serious. I'm not exaggerating. I can't believe they have concerts where they sell alcohol. Somebody is going to fall down and tumble down the it was a little rough, but very cool. Very, very cool. I also didn't, and maybe I didn't really realize it was kind of 4D, like your seats vibrate. So
it sounds interesting. It doesn't sound to me, the price that U2 seats are going for right now, people are paying like tens of thousands of dollars. No thanks. That's, I love the Jonas Brothers, but I don't love them that much. That's a lot of money to pay to see a concert.
And it, that is like an experience too, because you're in the show. Like, I don't know if you can, when you go to the concert, you're looking for the music and the artist, right? And like this, it almost is, could, I feel like it could be a distraction of sorts, you know? When, but, Oh boy. Well, and I, but it was fun. I mean, I'm glad I did it, right? I had to do it. I was in Vegas and I'm like, I got to go to the Sphere. It's new. It's what everybody's talking about. I had to just go.
You had to just go.
You know, but I like, for, again, I'm good. I saw it once. I'm good. I'm good. So what was your favorite show you've seen?
None of the shows I've seen still exist, but we saw Zoomanity in like 2018 and I loved that show. It's, from my understanding, it's, I haven't seen Absinthe, but it, I've been told it's very comparable to Absinthe. But it was a Cirque du Soleil show at New York, New York. I've seen a couple Cirque du Soleil shows. I saw Run, which also no longer exists. That was at Luxor. It was like a comic book style show. I did not like that one. But I've also like, I saw Penn and Teller filming their TV show. That was actually the last thing that Brian and I did before the pandemic, like before it was like COVID existed, but it wasn't yet like, don't leave your house. And so there was just like lots of whisperings in line of like, should we all be here? Is this a bad idea? Are we going to get sick? So that was really cool. But we're talking about,
not the COVID.
The COVID part was not really cool. Penn and Teller was really cool. Like getting to see their TV show and like watching these people doing magic tricks and them being like, yeah, I know how you did that. But I love Vegas for the things that people don't typically think about with Vegas. Like Vegas has some of the best hiking ever. Like you go out to Red Rock, you go just a little north of town and you've got the Valley of Fire. You're also like really close to other great hiking spots. We would do so much hiking when we lived in Vegas. For me, when I think of Vegas, I think of delicious food because it's the best place for food that I've ever lived. And I think of hiking. And I just want to reiterate that like you don't have to go to Vegas to drink and gamble. Like that doesn't have to be the only reason to go to Vegas. And we'll probably do another episode where we can talk more about like other like alternative Vegas and like different things you can do. But I just want to reiterate that Vegas is a great time, even if you don't drink, even if you don't gamble. There's,
well, it's a great place. You're only like 2.5 hours from the Grand Canyon, right? A car ride?
It depends on traffic. You're close-ish. So like we've gone to Sedona a couple times from Vegas and that's roughly 4 hours driving, a little less depending on how fast you go. And then depending on where you're going in, like I've never been to the Grand Canyon personally, but from what I've been told, depending on which entrance you're going to, which also depends on the time of year, because some of them are closed in the winter, is how long it takes. So, but my understanding is like Sedona and the Grand Canyon are roughly the same distance from Vegas. Okay. Yeah.
So, so great hiking. I would agree, right? You're easy access in and out of the airport. You don't have to drink and gamble, but how do you not just at least get a little money? Oh, let's talk about gambling for just a second. I lost a lot of money. The last time I went, I won a few thousand dollars, so I like paid for the trip. So like, oh, this might be, well, I gave it all back 10 years later. But
yeah,
I think the part that's really, there's a few cool things. And one, I was shocked about the minimum, like the minimums on the tables. They were not, again, you know, you hear, go to Vegas, you have dollar slots or dollar tables, you know, and that was not anywhere to be found. Minimums at night, especially on the weekend, were $25 at any table. But what they do have now is a lot of electronic, live, hybrid type things. So it slows things down a little bit, though, which I kind of like. Or if you don't know how to play craps, like somebody from a live person shooting the craps right in front of you, but you're sitting in front of a computer. So, and same thing with blackjack. I kind of liked it a little bit because it just slowed it down. And those had either $5 or $10 minimum, you know, bets. But well, I'm sure the Caesars company will be encouraging me to return. I have no doubt because they've got my number, literally.
And your email and your address and your social security number, probably.
I've contributed a lot. No, I haven't won enough money to have to give my social
security number. Oh, okay, okay.
I would love for that to happen. Yes, please. Tax me on this. Oh, so last question before we wrap. So, well, anything else you want to say? And then I have one last question for you.
No, I don't. I think, yeah, I'm not a big gambler, so I can't speak to the gambling stuff. That's why I was saying there's other stuff to do than just.
Yeah, for sure. Gambling. Well, and we, you know, there's things we didn't even, like the Formula One that's there now. Gosh, they're keeping the grandstands are staying there, right? You can go see them. They're kind of behind like Planet Hollywood-ish, which has a huge draw, but of course jacking up prices and things, right? But my last question for you, and as a former resident, twice over, is it Nevada or Nevada?
It's Nevada. And if you say Nevada, you're a fucking idiot. And say it right.
All right. Well, fuck you too. All right then.
It's definitely, I think, a like East Coast versus West Coast. Like people on the West Coast know it's Nevada. People on the East Coast say Nevada. And like, I cringe. You know, there's places that when people pronounce it, it's just, I live on a street in San Antonio, or off of a street in San Antonio, called Blanco. It's Blanco, but Texans pronounce it Blanco, and that hurts. And I'm going to leave this state, and I'm going to be speaking Spanish to someone, and I'm going to say Blanco, because I've just been conditioned now to pronounce it that way. So, like, it hurts when people pronounce things incorrectly. But that means that they learned it from reading. And I think that that is not in this case. They learned this from being, from taking someone else's language and butchering it. But Nevada is more than likely learned from reading. So I can appreciate that someone is learning words.
Correct. As a former elementary teacher, you are the second A, the first A, I guess, but shouldn't really be long. Or,
yeah.
Right? Or Nevada.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're if you apply English reading the rules. Skills.
Yeah.
The rules. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although we know the rules apply never. Well, good. All right. So we've learned something new. And
well, you have anyways.
Well, you know. Well, and I confirm that you're still a bitch.
Yeah, this isn't new.
That wasn't new. Not new at all. All right, wrap it up.
Thank you so much, everyone. We'd love to hear, honestly, about things you've done when you've gone to Vegas, because there's something for everyone in Vegas. And obviously, like, Chris and I have had different experiences. My experience is unique because I lived there. But yeah, we'd love to hear about the experiences that you've had. We appreciate you listening to us, even if we're just arguing about how to correctly pronounce Nevada. So thank you so much, everyone, for listening to us and engaging with us. It means a lot to us. And let's just go.
let's just go. Thanks, everyone. And one last time, call your dermatologist.